6 and beginning to read at verse 25. John chapter 6 and verse 25. Now, I know I mentioned it earlier in the service, but just to mention it again, that at the end of this service, in fact, at the end of every Sunday morning service, we will have a cup of tea. So if you like to stay for that, I know we haven't normally done that on a Sunday morning, but we are doing it on a Sunday morning, so please do feel free to stay. And this particular Sunday, it being the Harvest Thanksgiving, we have a harvest lunch, so please do stay with us and share lunch with us. Now, John chapter 6 and verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread of heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day." Visitor, a special treat or an amazing event, but you weren't there somehow, you missed out. They've actually created a word for this now, FOMO, the fear of missing out. The fear that we're not part of the in-group. 1 year when we were still living in Northern Ireland, my sister and her family came back from Africa, and they happened to be staying in our home when we were away on holiday. They were waiting to move into the house that was provided for missionaries who were coming back home. And they left the day before we arrived back, and they left behind them some bread that they hadn't used. Now, when our kids saw this bread and tasted it, they loved it. It was ordinary white sliced bread. They had never seen it before. They had never tasted it. They didn't even know that it existed, because Liz only ever bought the healthier wholemeal bread. And even to this day, our kids jibe us, and they tell the story about their deprived childhood, deprived of white bread. And it took them a few years for them to discover that there was such a thing as fizzy drinks. But that's another story. If it hadn't been for that half loaf left in the house, they said, they would have missed out on the white bread, perhaps for the rest of their childhood. I know we were dreadful parents. That's what I want to talk about this morning, is missing out on the bread. Missing out on the bread. Do you ever wonder what the bread that Jesus gave to the 5,000, what that bread would have tasted like? Do you think that some of the husbands in their sensitive way would have turned to their wives and said, "Why can't you make bread like this?" Think of the excitement of being there when the miracle was performed and these handful of loaves were multiplied enough to feed 5,000 people. And you would sit there just waiting your turn until you would taste some of this bread. You wonder, what is it going to be like? What's it going to taste like? Do you ever have those times when you just wished that you had all your family gathered around you and your friends so that they could share and enjoy the experience that you are enjoying? The ones that were there, did they think about their friends and neighbors who had missed out on this bread event? Wishing that they could have had their neighbors and the rest of the family there just to taste this bread, but they had missed out on the bread. What are our neighbors going to say when we go back home and tell them that we were there? We actually saw the miracle take place and Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just a few pieces of bread. And that we tasted the bread, we feasted upon it, and we were satisfied. Can't you see, they would say, that they're going to be sorry because they've missed out on the bread. We did ask them to come, but they thought that it was perhaps just one more reactionary preacher drawing people out into the wilderness, talking about revolution and how God was going to kick the Romans out of the land. I can't wait to tell them about the bread. They've missed out on the bread. Just then, some of them realized that the Lord Jesus Christ had actually left. He'd left and gone to the far side of the lake, and they said, look, let's get in a boat and go after him. Everyone else seems to be following him. Let's go, and perhaps we might see something else take place. We wouldn't want to miss out if there's going to be another bread event. There might very well, said some, be more to this bread business than first meets the eye. Some of them were talking about an old priest that they remembered who was very friendly with their dad. He used to talk about the time when the Messiah would come. And when the Messiah came, what he would do. You say, it's all in the Bible, you know. It's all there about what the Messiah would do. One of the things this old priest used to say was that the Messiah would come and he would give the people manna, the bread, you know, that Moses gave to the fathers back in Moses' times. There might be something in this bread business that is very significant. Let's go and see if he does the bread trick again. And sure, it's only one more day out of our program, and wouldn't it be great to see if Jesus does another miracle? Lots of people with the same idea pursued the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been fed with the bread of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and they wanted to follow up to see what Jesus would do next. The issue of the bread was a big thing. Who, in fact, is this man? What is going on? How can the bread be explained? This could be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and we wouldn't want to miss out on the bread. They were all expecting that something great, something additional was going to happen. But Jesus was on to them right away. In verse 26, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were fed. You're coming after me for this bread. That's all you want. You're looking to see something startling, something fantastic, a miracle. Jesus was saying, you've really got it badly wrong. What you are doing, in fact, you are working for food that spoils. But what you really need is food that will be eternal. The real food that is spiritual food, the true spiritual food, is food that will last and it will endure to eternal life. If you're talking about people missing out on the bread, don't miss out on the true bread. They didn't want to miss out on perhaps the next miracle, but what they were missing out on was the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. What he was saying is, you're looking for the wrong thing. Everybody knows that they need food. A little baby, seconds after they're born, will take their mother's milk. I got a surprising piece of information this morning from Gerald. He said that someone told him that for the first 6 weeks of a child's life, they just eat and sleep. No bother at all. Can you see what they think of that advice? Whoever he's been talking to, just ignore that, okay? It doesn't work that way. You can tell me about it later. But the little baby, just moments after they're born, they look for their mother's milk, the need for food. Going on hunger strike is a way that prisoners used to draw attention to some injustice that they felt. It doesn't take too long for that person to become so weak that they have to be put in a hospital ward, and many of them have died in the exercise. We've seen in recent years on our television screens the terrible effects of famine. Pictures of children standing with bloated bellies, overrun with flies, children too weak even to brush, and lacking energy to brush the flies away. All for the want of food, all for the want of bread. Without food, without bread, they die in their thousands. Jesus answered, though, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus said, I want you to think now about the real bread that you need. Not the bread that you fed on as a result of the miracles, but the spiritual bread that I'm offering. Unless you have that spiritual food, unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be lost and lost eternally. You will be separated from God forever. Calvin said that man was incurably religious. And everyone is religious in one way or another. We have a spiritual hunger, a need to be fed. Because our lives are sinful, and God will not accept us into heaven because of those sins. God does not approve of your sins, and he does not approve of you, the sinner. God doesn't approve of any of us. Our sins have separated us from God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The lies that we tell, the things we steal, the inconsiderate attitudes we have to others, the jealousy, the fighting, the arguing, the wrecking of our bodies. God calls all of that sin. And as the one who made us, as the one who helps us live each breath that we take, God says it's wrong. It's a wrong way to live. It's a wrong way to be. And if you're going to be in heaven, if you're going to have this spiritual food, you need to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. Don't miss out on the bread. But the question that they asked was, well, where can we find this bread? Yes, we ate of the bread that you supplied. You're talking about a better bread, a spiritual bread, but where can we get that? Jesus says, let me tell you how. I will give you this spiritual bread. The Son of Man will give you this spiritual food. Jesus was saying that he himself would give them as a gift this spiritual food. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Just as bread was the vital food substance to sustain our physical life, so the Lord Jesus Christ is the vital Savior, the bread of life. If we are to have eternal life, if we are to be sustained in heaven for all eternity, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want eternal life, if you want salvation, you need to come to the giver of salvation. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the giver, and this gift that he gives is approved by God. But you say, I am already a Christian. I've been born again. What more do I need? I have received the bread of life. The New Testament talks about three timing aspects of our salvation. You have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. Saved when you were born again, saved in a continuing sense as you continue to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you continue to feed upon the bread of life, we grow up in our faith. We grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one day when Christ comes back again, we will be saved from the presence of sin itself. When Christ comes back and we are changed. First it says the dead in Christ will be raised. And then second, we with the dead will be raised together to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. How do I grow? How do I develop? How do I change? You change by feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ, by taking hold of his word and learning from that word. What is it that God says about me? What is it that God says about himself? What is it that he says about salvation? What is it that he says about my growth and development, my responsibility, my gratitude? Jesus had provoked a sense of their need by his comments, and they respond with yet another question. What must we do to do the works God requires? The question they ask is a bit twisted, and it shows that they have still not really got the message. But Jesus clears up their confusion with his answer. They are self-focused, they are task-oriented, they are works-minded. What have I got to do to make it happen? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have faith in Christ. Christ has done the work. Christ has paid the price. Christ will forgive us for our sins. He is the one who will sustain us because he is the bread of life. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a growing and developing Christian, then we need to constantly come back and feed upon the bread of life. If you want to be right with God, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No person comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ himself was saying that he was the exclusive, the only way to come to God. There is no other way. There is no other path that we can take. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the bread of life. Okay, they said, we get the idea. Well, how do we know who you really are? Show us a sign. Do another trick. After all, Moses fed our fathers in the wilderness by giving them bread. What are you going to do for us? Come on, do a trick. Do a miracle. Let us all see what you can do, and then we'll all believe. This really is a horrible lot. They had been in the crowd when Jesus fed 5,000 with a handful of loaves and two fish. They were mocking Jesus. They weren't really listening at all to what Jesus was saying, but Jesus continued to tell them the truth. You are wrong, he says. Moses did not give your fathers bread. It was God who gave the bread. It was bread from heaven. And now today, I am the bread of heaven. I am the bread of life. God is the one who has sent me. And the work of God is to believe in the one whom God has sent. Believe in me. For the bread of life, the bread of God, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. they still hadn't got it, and they said, from now on, give us this bread. Not the stuff that we had yesterday. Give us this super dough. This super bread. And Jesus says, listen, I am that bread. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. But Jesus wasn't just speaking those words to people some 2,000 years ago. He is speaking those words to us today. And in these few sentences from the Bible, he tells us about salvation. Jesus said, I am that salvation. I am the bread of life. Your spiritual need, your spiritual hunger can only be satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ, by nothing else. Your growth in Christ can only be satisfied and maintained by Christ. It'll not be satisfied. It'll not be filled through education. It'll not be filled through your career. It'll not be filled through your sports or any other activity. Those activities are good in themselves. But if we miss out on the bread, this bread, then we miss out on eternal life and we are lost forever. What has Jesus done that such a claim can be made? Remember that we said that the big need that every person has is that God does not approve of their sin. When I was a kid, when we went to parties, we used to play the game called Pass the Parcel. When the music stopped, the one holding the parcel had to take the paper off, and there was usually some silly or embarrassing thing that you had to do, like, you know, kiss the person that you fancy the most. So you tried to not to have the parcel when the music stopped. Somebody would pass you the parcel and you had to try to get rid of it. Well, we have the same problem with sin. It's something that we have to get rid of. It's a real issue that we have in our lives. And when the music stops and we're holding our sin, we'll be lost for all eternity, separated from God forever. We're still caught holding our sin, and God will punish us in hell forever because of that sin. That's the problem. That's the big problem. That's the big need. But we do not have to live any longer with that need, because God lovingly and graciously has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might die on the cross to satisfy our hunger, to satisfy our thirst. Jesus is saying, let me tell you how the need is met. Let me tell you how the problem is solved. Because God so loved the world, he has sent Jesus from heaven into this world in order that he might provide life for you. He wants to provide life for you more than you want to have it. God is gracious and God is merciful. But how is the sin problem solved? Is God saying, I'm just going to forget about it. I'll brush it under the rug. I'll just gently forget. I'll not bring it up in polite company anymore. No, God is a just and a holy God. And he has to deal with the problem that is you. He has to deal with the problem that is your sin. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to hang upon the cross. And God who knew you, and God who knew your sin, took that and laid it upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ suffered for the problem that is you, for the problem that is your sin. Jesus didn't have any sin, so death had no claim over him. But he became sin for us, in order that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, God punished his own Son for the sins of his people. Your sin leaves you guilty, but Christ leaves you free. Your sin separates you from God, but Christ brings you back to God. Your sin is like the use of a credit card. It all goes on to your account. Years of debt building up. The lie you told, the thing you stole, the list could go on and on. All noted by a holy God. And Jesus came to wipe that account clean. Not only to take away the debt, but to give us spending money, in that he has given us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross, and he has taken the whole statement of sin and paid the price by dying for sin. When Jesus talks about spiritual hunger, it's like the person looking at their credit card bill at the end of the month and saying, I know I bought that meal, I know I bought those clothes, but how am I going to pay? They want the money now. There is a day of reckoning. I know I have sinned. I know I didn't live my life the way I should have lived my life. I know I didn't thank God for all the things that he has done for me. And now that the bill is in front of me, how is it going to be paid? It has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung upon the cross. And Jesus said, I am this bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. What have I got to do to get this bread of life? Simply accept that the only way to be right with God is to take the gift of salvation that is offered in the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe that Jesus has taken away the problem of our sin by his death on the cross. Maybe you're wondering, does that mean me? Jesus gives this promise. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your problem is. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I will never, never drive you away. Don't be afraid about asking God to save you. If you come to him saying that you are sorry for your sin and that you want to turn away from your sin and asking him for forgiveness, he'll not turn you away. He'll not refuse you. He'll save you. We need the true spiritual bread if we're going to be in heaven. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Are you going to miss out on the bread today? Jesus Christ is that bread. I am the bread of life. Take me, have me, and I will satisfy that spiritual hunger. I will satisfy that thirst. I am the bread of life. Don't miss out on the bread.